Would you join me as we sing together, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Let's say that I am a coin collector, and so are you. Now, I must be honest with you, I'm not a coin collector, but this is a story and an illustration, so I'm a coin collector, and so are you. And I come to your house one hot summer day, and we're going to visit together. And I notice as I'm there that on your fireplace mantle is a coin. And it's one that I've got a copy of. And I know that coin collections are more valuable in pairs. And so as you dismiss yourself to get some cold orange juice on this hot day, and that sounds delicious, I put the coin, pick it up, and put it in my pocket. And as you come back, I'm a little anxious to be on my way now, but I don't realize that there's a hole in my pocket. And the coin rolls out of my pocket onto the floor, and you see the coin. And you say, wow, that looks just like the coin that I've got in my fireplace mantle. And you know that coins are more valuable than pairs. So you put your foot over the coin. And now you're a little anxious for me to be on my way. A few last hellos and saying hello and then ultimately goodbye and a gulp on our orange juice. We're on our way out. And I pick up the coin. Who stole the coin? As far as the laws of the land are concerned, who stole the coin? As far as the laws of the land, neither one of us, as far as our law of the land. But as far as God is concerned, who stole the coin? Both of us didn't they? Yes. The God that you and I trust in, and we worship Him, He is concerned that whatever we do in terms of religion and faith, that it comes not just from the outside, but it comes from within, from the heart. He looks at what makes us tick. He is concerned about our motives as to why we do what we do. And so with this in mind, the devil comes along and he's constantly challenging your motives and my motives, right? Concerning as to why we do what we do. And for this reason, if we're going to make a decision that we're going to seek to know Jesus Christ, and we're wanting to live for Jesus Christ, and to represent Jesus Christ, we're tired of man's rule, finding our hope in a man, a human being. We're tired of tradition. That's not where it's at. But we want to follow His Word. We want to be like Jesus. We want to follow Him. And friends, if that's our motive, then the devil is going to fight us every opportunity he can get. He is going to, as it were, shake his fist at God. And as I said, you think that they are doing this because they love you. You're wrong. Now, we can better understand what this is all about as we go to our Bibles, to the Gospel according to Job. So turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. You see, it's a part of God's plan. God wants to help you and me to grow. He wants us to become like Him. He wants us to enjoy the Christian life. And one of the ways He helps us to grow is that He tests our motives. Who are you? Why do you do what you do? And this is why, if we do make such a decision to seek Jesus Christ, that everything will seem to go wrong. Can you relate to that? And in some cases, almost immediately. And an experience of this is perfectly illustrated right here in the Gospel according to Job. Everybody there? Job chapter 1. And I'd invite you to follow with me as we go to verses 6 through 11. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, listen to what he said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the devil, as it were, had Job in a corner. Or I should say, God in a corner. And guess who could only get God out of the corner? Job. Take a look at verse 12. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." What is this business, this game, as it were, that he's doing here? He is testing, he is, as it were, questioning the motives of Job. And he looks at God and he says, "If you think Job is serving you because he loves you, you've got to be kidding. He's not. You're wrong. He is serving you because he's being prospered throughout his life, and it pays him to do it. But if everything would go wrong and all he had was placed in jeopardy, then he would curse you at your face." And God told Satan to prove his point. And you know, it takes a great, faithful man, woman of God to become the central point in this great controversy between Christ and Satan. It really does. And so Satan, you know the story. What an awesome story. Satan swept all of Job's possessions, his flocks, his herds, his maidservants, his menservants, even his sons and daughters. And as I thought of this and prepared this message, I had to ask myself, as I want to ask you today, what would you have done if you were Job? And I'm sure some of us here today, at this time, this very day, can say, "I can relate with Job." Or at least in some time in your life, you say, "I've been there. I know Job. I've related to that." If we were to lose all that we had, even our loved ones, it would be a terrible thing. There would be sadness and tears and great loss. But what would we do about God? Would we continue to seek Him? Or would we give up on Him? Would we stop putting God first in our tithes and our offerings? Would we stop our fellowship with our church family? You know, I guess the only way we can answer that question is to answer this question. How do we react when we're confronted with a crisis in our lives today? Do we run to God and with God, or away from Him? Look at 21, verse 21 of chapter 1 of Job. So glad you have your Bibles. Verse 21. And he said, Job is speaking, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Wow. What awesome faith Job had. He continued to trust in God in spite of all of his losses, in spite of the circumstances. And we can almost see the devil kind of dig his feet into the soil or into the dust and admit, yes, I've lost this first round, but I'm not ready to give up yet. I'm not ready to admit that a man or a woman will continue their trust and their loyalty in God if their very life was placed in jeopardy. Now I want you to think right now, because I think some of you have some answers to this. Do you know someone who's sick right now? Maybe they have cancer. Maybe they have some disease. This story is for them as well. Job chapter 2, verse 5. "But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." Let me put it in my words. Just let me touch him, and I'll do something, and I'll prove to you that you're wrong. Verse 6. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.'" The boils came, and the pain, and the torture. And it wasn't long until Satan, the enemy, had Job's wife. Take a look at it in verse 9. "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.'" Whew. There's ever a time that your husband needs your encouragement. It is now. But I can just kind of put it in my own words, kind of a Williams paraphrase that I do sometimes. Look what has happened to you. What good is your trust in God? Die. Just go ahead and die. Don't you just curse God and die? And the devil sat back in laughter. He says, I've got Job's wife now, and in just a matter of time, I'm going to have Job, and then I will prove that God is wrong. Now, if you know anything about the great controversy between Christ and Satan, wrong about what? You see, Satan wants you and me to think that we don't need Jesus Christ for the plan of our salvation. That we can live a good life or even a happy life apart from Christ. That obedience, living for Jesus, really isn't that important. Do your own thing. It doesn't really matter. That's what he wants us to begin to think. But God, on the other hand, this is what he is saying in just a few words. In effect, he's saying, I have made it possible for you. I have given to you my Son, Jesus Christ, as your saving substitute. And he has saved you. And I'm inviting you to trust in Jesus and to grow in to the place that you exemplify Jesus. And I want to promise you, I will be with you to the end. I will be with you through it all. Well, it wasn't long until Job's friends came along. And you know the story. I can see it on your face already. And they were with him for 7 days. And they were shedding some tears. And they were weeping. And 7 days. And finally, they said, they just broke open. And they said, there they are next to his hospital bed, as it were. Job, you must be a great sinner. And Job gives that one-liner. It's famous, isn't it? We've heard it many, many times. Great comforters you are. Great comforters are you. What not to do at the hospital side or the bedside of someone that's ill. If we can just come to the realization that there's this controversy, there's this conflict between Christ and Satan over every individual's life, everyone. And Ray and Ron and Pat, you are no exception. You're making your stand for Jesus Christ today through profession of faith and through baptism. God says to you today, I'm for you. I'm with you. And this church family, they stood today. I saw it with my own eyes. You did too. They're saying, we're for you, we're with you, but at the same time, the devil is against you. He's against you. And I want to try to paint this word picture of you and me saying yes to Jesus Christ and to be a part of his family. Now, in this case, story of Job, it was Job who was to show who was wrong. Would it be God or would it be Satan? And it happens in your case as well as my case. And let me illustrate it this way. I give my life to Jesus. And I want to trust in him. I do want to obey him. And maybe it's during a week of prayer, maybe a Bible study that you're receiving. Maybe it's here at church as the pastor is preaching and making a call. But you give your life to Jesus. You say yes to Christ. And now you want to live for Jesus. And you see, I see it now. I see the difference between the fight of faith and the fight of sin. I cannot fight sin. I can't fight to better myself. I can't try to be good by not being bad. That doesn't work. Have you come to that place yet? Do you realize that? But I can fight to get to know Jesus. I can fight to enrich my relationship with him, to have a faith in Jesus that works by love. And right there as we stand, we are counted. We are counted. And right there, the devil and his angels are there to seek to overcome us every inch of the way. And we can kind of see the story of Job relived again. Does this make sense to you? Relived again. And the devil says, you think that these newest members of the Canyonville Seventh-day Adventist Church are going to serve you and stand for you because they love you. Well, you're wrong. They're coming to church because they're not coming to church because they're wanting to seek to know you. They're not giving of their tithes and offerings from their heart of gratitude. Even their service for you is for the wrong motive. They're doing what is right for the wrong reason. And they're doing what is right because they want to be happy. They're doing what is right because they want to get over their problems. They're doing what is right because they want to get to heaven. And those are selfish reasons. And that's why I was kicked out of heaven. These people's motives are wrong. God has put it in a corner. And God says, all right. Because he's dedicated in playing the game fairly, the game of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. He says, all right, go and prove your point. And he allows Satan in different ways to test our motives. And we are allowed to be put under different points of pressure. Have you been there? You ever done that? Yes. I expect everybody to raise your hand if you're going to be honest. The next day we seek to know Jesus through his word and prayer because we realize that our assurance of salvation is in knowing Christ and seeking him. And we're wanting to have a victory over sin in our lives. And we know that, again, it's not by our bootstraps. It's not by trying to be good by not being bad. It is by fixing our eyes on getting to know Jesus, by beholding him. What happens? We change. And so we seek Jesus. And we talk to him as we would a respected friend. And we know he hears us. And we get up from our knees and we go into life. Life, whatever that is for you. And everything goes wrong. Everything goes wrong. Can you relate? How many here can relate? I think I'm preaching to the choir. But we need to hear that song again and again. And suddenly we become, as it were, the center point of deciding who's wrong and who's right. Yes. We're in the middle. We have an opportunity to show by our trust in Jesus. And the decision is this. Will I continue to trust my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ no matter what? Will I obey his Bible truth no matter what? Or will I live a good life? Or a rebellious life apart from Christ? Well, as the day draws on, comes to its close, some of us, not all of us, some of us, we must confess that the circumstances around us have gotten our attention and gotten our eyes from being fixed on Jesus and our strength, our wisdom and help from him. And we say out of our emotions, we say, well, everything has gone wrong. I've never had such a troublous day. And so we say, if this is a result of seeking Jesus Christ and following his will, it proves that it doesn't work. And if my days aren't going to be the days that I wanted to have, good days, then Christianity's not cut out what it's supposed to be. I've been there, and I've done that, and I think you have too. And so the next day we don't seek Jesus. We might even go back to some of our old ways. Now tell me, if you were the devil, what would you do the next day? What would you do the next day? You see, the devil's goal is to keep us from seeking Christ. The devil's goal is to keep us from following the will of God. How is he doing in your life, in my life? And you know, he knows, yes, the devil knows. He knows that these seeking Jesus are the very ingredients to keeping our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the very source of our righteousness by faith. A faith that works by love. And he doesn't care. No, he doesn't care how good you may be apart from Jesus, whether you go to church or whether you don't go to church. He doesn't mind so much about that. He just wants us to lose our interest in spiritual things, in seeking Christ, so that we can come to the place where we forget where our salvation lies in Jesus. One can almost visualize Satan with his angels watching the earnest Christians seek Jesus. And he says, do you see these new members, the newest members of Canyonville Church? They're seeking me. Or maybe there's someone in the church family and they've been faltering for some time in their Christian life, but they're seeking Jesus. They're not giving up on Jesus. And he says to his angels, in effect, he says, do you see these persons? Don't let them alone. They're discovering the life of faith. Don't let them alone. Give them what you can. And they do. I can vouch for that. You too. And they do all they can to take away my desires and your desires and interest towards seeking Jesus and doing his will. And the next day we say, well, it didn't work. I'm going to skip my time alone with God. And the devil the next day, says, now, give him a good day. Give him a good day. And everything goes fine. Everything goes fine. And at the close of the day, I say, well, I guess it proves it. I guess it proves it. You see, if he can just stop us from having a daily relationship with Jesus Christ, I think I've heard Kelly say this a few times as our head elder, our spiritual leader of the church. Well, Kelly, amen. And he doesn't mind if it's just once in a while, maybe once a week, maybe, oh, okay. But the tendency of our lives, he's against it. He's against it. And then we begin to go on each day living without Jesus, living apart from Christ. And we might be living apart from Christ a religious life, a good life. Right behavior, right performance, even maybe a Sabbath keeping, tithe paying, health reforming Adventist, but living apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ and not knowing the power of God. Now, I want you to remember this. We have not lost our relationship with Jesus Christ. But we are in danger, a dangerous position, because our focus is not upon Christ and his righteousness. And falling out of grace, falling out of relationship with Jesus Christ, it takes time. It takes time. But gradually we begin to die spiritually. I ask you, as I ask myself here today, have you stopped your time alone with God, seeking Jesus? Have you stopped seeking to behold him through the word and through prayer? Are you holding back from following his will? Well, the days and the weeks go by and something, well, I guess the way I can best explain it is something funny happens. Satan knows he has you and me, as we are going through this illustration, he knows that he's got our focus away from Jesus, a relationship with Jesus. He likes that, but he also likes to pester us. He likes to tempt us, and this time for fun. And what does it do? What does it do? It brings us back to our knees. It brings us back to our knees. It brings us back to realize that I guess I do need Jesus. I do need to maintain my walk with Him. I've been having these problems. I've been living a life that I shouldn't be living and I should be doing. Maybe we've been very ill. Maybe there's been a sickness or an accident or maybe a death in our family. Some crisis in our lives, some problem. But it causes us to wake up. And now to seek Jesus. Again. Again. Amen? And because we're seeking Christ now, what can God do? God can step in and Satan loses the game. And this so-called game, merry-go-round, lap after lap, you know, that idea happens again and again and again and again. Been there, done that. I think everybody here can relate to this. Until we finally grow up. And we come to realize that we need the kind of faith that Job had. We need the kind of faith that Christians down through the years of time have grown to have. And this is what we lack. A faith that daily dies to self and clings hold to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. By faith in someone else's righteousness, not ours, but His. But the question still comes, and it ought to be. I think we need to ask this question. Why does God let this happen in the first place? You've got the story of Job. Read it again for the first time. God never oversteps Himself. He always plays the game correctly and fairly. And it's finally going to come to us and we consider our past experiences. And we consider that when we have been confronted with crises in our lives. And it comes to us that we consider in our past experiences that maybe our motives have been wrong in seeking Christ. I don't seek Christ to get something out of Him. I don't seek Christ so He can solve my problems. He can if He wants to and He chooses to. I don't seek Christ so I can go to heaven. That's not my main reason, my primary reason. But you and I finally will come to the place. How patient He's been with us. That we're going to seek Jesus and seek to live for Jesus no matter what happens. No matter what happens. I'm going to get to know Him. I'm going to follow His will. And that's exactly what the devil is against. And then we come to the place in our life that we make the determination that no matter what the consequences are, we will choose to go His way, to behold Jesus. Good times, rich times, poor times, ups and down times, I want to seek Christ. I'm on His team. And if that is our motive, friends, that's what works. That's what works. And the days and the weeks go on and we can visualize God and Satan in our imagination. Okay, just kind of in your imagination. And this time, God takes the forefront and He asks, well, how are they doing? How are they doing? And God says, or Satan says, they're seeking You no matter what I do. Sickness, disease, accidents, loss of a job, loss of reputation, even the death of a loved one, they're still seeking You. Oh, they may still falter at times and make mistakes, but ultimately, they still come back and trust in You no matter what I do. And then finally, Are you listening? God can step in and say, oh, I love these words. Get lost! To say, get lost. And so it goes to say, my friends, when we are first converted, we decide to follow Jesus, maybe through profession of faith, maybe baptism, whatever it is, whenever that time comes. And the friends, to remember this, the battle isn't over, it's just begun. It's just begun. I have one more nugget of truth that I want to share with you today. And this nugget of truth is especially applicable for our newest members, but really everybody. And it goes like this. What's a babe in the Lord to do? What's a new member to do? What's a Christian to do? Here you are, a babe in the Lord, and how are you going to overcome this powerful, muscular, well-fed, through the years, old man of sin? Well, first of all, at our profession of faith, at our baptism, we need to put the old man in a coffin, as it were. Okay? Securely in that coffin for the rest of the time until Jesus comes. And if we could only keep the lid securely nailed down. And so the picture this. This new man, Ray, Ron, Pat, each of us, a babe in Jesus, a babe in the truth. And they have put the old man in the coffin. And if we could only go around every morning and bang those nails down that coffin and secure the lid firmly down. If we could only do this before and whenever that old man stirs up. Now maybe some of you are asking, well, those nails that you have to pound down and securely keep the old man in the coffin, as it were, what are those nails? And I would like to suggest they are these. Can you relate to this? Let's say them out loud together. Starting with number one, Bible study, prayer, praying through the promises of God, Christian fellowship, sharing our faith, praising God's character in prayer and in song. My friends, these are the symbolic nails that we need with our symbolic hammer to secure each day, sometimes more often in a given day. But sometimes the trouble is that after we're baptized, after we come through profession of faith in our Christian life, sometimes I should have a pry bar. I should have brought this up, but I didn't. But you know what a pry bar looks like? We try to pry up the nails in the coffin and open it up and feed the old nature a sandwich. And we wonder why the flesh is stronger than it should be. And we wonder how it all happens. And the truth is, my friends, think about this. The truth is, some of us have let the new man, the Holy Spirit, to come into our lives. But we've locked him in stage one. We've locked him there. When in reality, the normal Christian life is stage two. To be filled with the Spirit. How do we refuse to let the old man nature out? How do we never feed him anymore? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us how. He says, as Christians, you got to fight. That's right. You got to go to battle. And we're not talking about guns and knives and all of those things, human methods. No, no, not by guns and knives and explosives, not just listening to 3ABN and letting that be our relationship with Jesus, not just listening to a radio preacher and let them feed you and let that be the basis. Not letting them do the studying for you and the praying for you, but you and I are in this battle together, individually. And we cannot put someone else's armor on. It's the armor that we have to put on ourselves. And we fight the fight of faith with the Holy Spirit as we keep our focus on Jesus. And what are the weapons again? Let's read them again. Bible study. Prayer, praying through the promises of God, Christian fellowship, sharing our faith, praising God's character in prayer and in song. Now, what's the key? How is this going to work? What? You see, some of us will find that we'll still stumble and fall. Everybody, it's going to happen. But you have not lost your relationship with Jesus. God still loves you. Readjust your focus back to Jesus and continue to serve Him. You don't fall in and out of grace. But here's the key. Here's the key. When we fight the fight of faith each day, we are, as it were, banging on the nails of the coffin, and the old man, nature, is starving, wasting away as we are growing to maturity. So remember this, friends. This is so important. We don't stomp out sin. Can't do that this side of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The old man will be with us until this mortal puts on immortality. You can't stomp out sin, but you can what? What can you do? You can crowd it out until Jesus comes. I want to take a moment now and invite our newest members to come forward. I want to share something with you as we have our few moments together. Please come forward if you would. Part of the responsibility of a church family, and the Canyonville church family is no exception, is we want to take care of these special people that are part of the family. We want to help them to grow. We want to disciple them. And we're doing that. And I want you to remember what has been said today. We'll get a copy of the sermon for you so you can listen to it again and again. So there are some things you don't want to forget. But to remember this event, we'd like to give you a little gift. And I'm going to have Kelly come up. Kelly, put these together for me. I described over the email, but we're going to give this to you. And I would invite you to put these on your wall. Maybe we can take one of them out and read what it says. Can I borrow this from you a minute here, Ray? Anybody know what that symbolic hammer means? If you look a little closer, do you see those nails? It reads, Ray Dobson, joined Canyonville Seventh-day Adventist Church by profession of faith on September 17, 2022. And then it says this, remember to pound the nails into the old man of sin's coffin every day by your time alone with Jesus, sharing Jesus with others, Christian fellowship, praying through the promises, praising God, God's character, and singing praises. Now, before you leave, we want you to, we want to give you your baptismal packet. And in this baptismal packet is your baptismal and profession of faith certificate. And there are a lot of things also in it that can help you in your Christian walk and get to know your church family better. And you can put that in the bag or wherever you want to do that. God bless all of you. Let's just stand here just a moment and have a picture. Thank you, Sophie. Folks, one of the ways that we can crowd out the old nature from speaking is for us to praise God. That keeps our focus on Jesus. Praising God, singing, humming, whatever you do to praise, sing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You can be seated now. And I'm going to invite you to join me as we sing together just a few short praises to God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Again, now, precious Lord, listen to the song, listen to the words. It's a prayer. Put the music.
And lead me on, help me stand. I am weak, I am lonely, I am strong. Through the storm. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry. I call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
You know this song? Sing it with me.
Yes, Lord, I give my heart to you. Yes, Lord. My will I yield anew. Love me, guide me, fill my soul. Yes, Lord, take full control.
Join me now as we stand together. And let's stand because we believe in the promises of God, standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God,
sing it now.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Let's pray. Loving, precious Father in heaven, I thank you, Jesus. You saw me through this message today. a tough one, but an important one. And I thank you that every person, and especially those that are the newest part of our family, will apply these principles and declare you are the one who wins. You are the one that's worthy of our trust. And they will know, come what may, that life is still worth living. Be with us now as we make our way to Milo and have a wonderful meal together and prepare for this baptism. In Jesus' precious name, we give you the glory. Amen. You may be seated. Happy Sabbath, everybody.